every way. A dog will have his day, but when it comes to wailing, dogs ain't got a thing to say. So they can do the waiting, cause I ain't hesitating. The future's round the corner, so for now I'm gonna play. Now's the time to wail, not later, but right now's the time.
V-I-R-E-D-D is her last name, one of the women pioneers of jazz on her instrument, the alto sax, and also vocals, with a little nifty tune called Now's the Time. She has some company on this one: Roy Ayers on vibes, Carmel Jones on trumpet, Russ Freeman on piano, Leroy Vinegar on bass, and Richie Goldberg on drums. This is from her 1967 album, Bird Call, in tribute to Charlie Bird Parker, a major influence in her music. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And every day you say, it can't get any worse, and then it does. And it gets worse than that. So that's where things are headed as hearings continue in Washington, D.C. The real fireworks everybody is waiting for will be next week, when the roof will be blown off by so-called revelations coming out of this, the Democrats' hearing on whether Trump is to be thrown out, given the old heave-ho, out of office, or whether he stays. But enough is happening this week, and we're seeing some really strange ideas of what people consider a defense. First of all, it shows that they really haven't been following Rudy Giuliani all that well, not as mayor and not as a prosecutor, federal prosecutor in New York City. Because if they cared to look at his record, you'd find an inordinately high number of cases being vacated or turned over because Rudy didn't especially obey the law himself, even as a prosecutor. I remember the case of the New York 8. This was a group that had been targeted and had been monitored for quite a while by Giuliani and by the New York Police Department. They were considered very, very radical and enemies of the state. They were all African American. Well, Giuliani had them not only arrested, but also charged with committing various crimes. And among the crimes, the major crimes was something that he could not identify. I sat with him. Actually, it's the other way around. He sat with me. He came to my office to be interviewed because he was very eager to have some kind of rapport with the African American community. And of course, we were covering this case. And he sits down and he's talking and allowing me to ask him questions. And then I launched into questions about the New York Eight, why he chose to prosecute them. What exactly is the legal theory of the case? And whether he felt he had justified that theory. And it turned out when I said to him, I mean, I really put it to him. It was very calm. He was very sweaty. And I was kind of chuckling on the insides because, you know, he's a very formidable person. And he comes to the office to have this interview almost at the peak. Well, the Wall Street arrests, he made a big thing about that, and that gave him a lot of press coverage. So he was feeling pretty big, and until we started talking about the New York Eight. And I asked him, I said, you know, we've been covering this case, but you haven't so far established a crime. And then he looked at me like, what the heck are you talking about? Says, you haven't established a crime was committed. What is the crime that the New York Eight, that group, has committed? What is the crime? And then he launched into this meandering explanation about how they were agitators, and how they were operating as a kind of underground cell. They were black radicals. I said, yeah. But what was the crime? Explain the crime, identify the crime, and then let's talk about where you have justification for making such a charge. And he would tell me how terrible they were in response. And I said, so you don't like them, it's very clear. And it should be no surprise to you, they don't like you either. But again, I ask you, what is the crime with which they are being charged? And he couldn't tell me. I said, I couldn't help myself. I said, oh, he says, well, they were thinking, we have intelligence on them, that they were thinking of conducting a series of crimes. I said, oh, now I get it. Now it's clear to me. These are thought crimes. These are not actual crimes. They are being charged by you with committing thought crimes. They were thinking about committing crimes. And you just happened to, you know, head them off at the pass with this indictment and trial. He got so livid. He stood up and left the office. And I was cracking up. I said, well, you're kind of touchy. You're on edge today. We were just getting started. I was just beginning to enjoy the rapport. And he summarily ended the interview. That was that. But I did, before he left, I did point out to him that that's a kind of a mark of distinction as a prosecutor. that here we have a federal prosecutor putting people on trial with very serious, very heavy federal charges without establishing that a crime has been committed. And then when pressed, basically he said they were thinking of committing crimes. So now I said, oh, so you went ahead and you charged them federally under federal statutes with thinking of committing crimes. Thought crimes were the reason that you decided to head them off at the pass, get them indicted, put them in the court of law, and threaten to put them in jail for substantial periods of time. That's the kind of prosecutor that he was. But he really, really did not appreciate me saying, oh, so now you're prosecuting people for thought crimes, not actual crimes, thinking of committing a crime, and you decided to head them off at the pass because you're a law and order kind of guy. Now, what is very seldom said about Rudy Giuliani is that he doesn't have an enviable record of his convictions sticking. He has an alarmingly high rate of cases being thrown out and overturned upon review. He's not particularly careful about the law. And he's not particularly brilliant as a lawyer. But you wouldn't know that. And with the antics that he pulled off, arresting a number of people on Wall Street for crimes they allegedly committed, and he dressed up, and he and Al D'Amato, the senator, teamed up and did this vulgar and frankly very, very amateurish and embarrassing stunt. And that's how he got noticed. And he, of course, was very ambitious and he wanted to do something. So now we have Rudy Giuliani, who has been transformed into the world's foremost law and order man. He does not know the law. I'll tell him that to his face. He doesn't know the law. And there's enough to suggest that he has been made aware of this by many courts throwing out his convictions. But he is mean. He is vengeful. And now he is in the thick of it with Donald Trump. He is now Donald Trump's like a personal legal advisor, which is another interesting thing. This man has been traveling all over the world, basically under that umbrella, that he is a high-ranking official in the administration of Donald Trump, representing the president and the U.S. government at the highest levels. Do you remember any meeting being held, any hearing being held to confirm Rudy Giuliani as an emissary of the president? I don't remember anything like that. But he's flying here, he's flying there, he's taking people with him over the other place, and he's in the thick of it, operating, I might add, with top security clearance given to him by Trump. And he makes no secret that he is Mr. Trump's personal lawyer and legal representative. Legal representative, yes. He's a big man. He has not been confirmed by anybody in Congress. Yet he's operating under credentials that don't exist. He should know that that's kind of illegal. But look who he is allied with. Trump has given Rudy Giuliani, Trump has chosen to give Rudy Giuliani exactly what he wants. The ability to roam the world as some kind of ambassador at large. He has credentials. He's representing the United States. He's representing the president. He's representing people affiliated with the president. Nobody quite knows what he's doing, except he's traveling a lot at taxpayer expense, going on missions that have not yet been disclosed. Doing what we don't know. But he's credentialed by Trump himself. And in these transactions, he often is allied with people you have to hold your nose for because they're so stink and dirty. But they're the people Trump wants to do business with. We haven't had any accounting at all by the president about the duties of Rudy Giuliani. How did he end up being essentially a shadow president? Or shadow ambassador, a shadow anything. As long as he's in the shadows, and now he's getting more and more brazen, he's out in the open. And nobody in Congress, nobody, has yet demanded to know from President Trump what exactly is Mr. Giuliani's portfolio. One time, he seems to be an ambassador. At another time, he seems to be a chief negotiator. Who gave him these portfolios to handle? Which committee in Congress has vetted him and sanctioned his appointment to do all these very highly secretive and sensitive jobs, for which, by the way, he's quite well paid. And Trump was trying the other day to say, well, he's a very good friend, and he's doing much of this for free. Okay? So you really think I'm stupid? If Giuliani is doing all of this for free, why? Why is he doing this work for free? And if he's not doing it for free, and you're not paying him, who is? You see, they've become so brazen. This entire administration is so corrupt. And the people who are doing all of this corruption, they no longer feel the need to hide anything. They're in your face. It's like, well, my daughter is a chief advisor. Okay. So what qualifies her to be an advisor to the president, other than you have the same last name? You know, that used to be called cronyism, but it has passed muster. And she's delighted with her job. She has gotten all these, in the face of all of the trade wars going on between the United States and China and even other countries, she has managed to secure at least 60 licenses to trade in clothes because she's said to be a designer. In the same manner that I am a neurosurgeon, this country has gone to hell. He sends his daughter to an international gathering of people who really know what they're doing, and they look at her as if, what the hell are you doing here? She had nothing to contribute. I love the grace with which these older women of great stature, they just smacked her. Get out of here. You have nothing to contribute here. But coming back to Giuliani, we need to start asking questions about Trump and Giuliani. And it's a matter of money, taxpayer money. You could have Trump, Giuliani as your personal lawyer. Fine. But don't now say that he is to have credentials to travel wherever he wants to go, to meet with whomever he needs to meet, outside of the knowledge and permission of the entities that normally handle these things in Congress. He has top security clearance, and basically, he's running the show. And again, as I said, if you look at his record of lawyering, it is not that impressive to begin with. You're going to attempt to charge 8 people with federal crimes that you admit were not even committed, but that they, quote, were thinking about. So he tried a little preemptive strike and then got absolutely angry. I was so amused. He got very angry when I kept saying, so you have charged them with thought crimes. No crimes have actually been committed. But you, the brilliant prosecutor, decided that you would head things off at the pass and charge them with a crime that nobody in the United States, no prosecutor would think that that's the thinking of a smart prosecutor. No crime has been committed, but they should be found guilty and put in prison. There you go. That's a big, big question, though. What exactly is Rudy Giuliani's role, and what has been his role, and to what degree is he also accountable for this debacle that they're trying to iron out? What did he know? When did he know it? What did he do? When did he do it? Under whose authority is he functioning? No hearings have been held. He didn't submit his resume for members of Congress to look at and say, okay, he looks like the right guy for the job, which is normal procedure. So Trump himself installed Rudy Giuliani as his henchman. And as we have seen, Giuliani has immersed himself in a world of gangsterism, international, global gangsterism. He and Trump are running buddies in this world. So I was thinking, I asked myself a question. What if Donald Trump and a few select people, highly selected people, in fact, succeeded in taking over the government and are running a shadow government, doing whatever the heck they want to do? After all, the president has free access to the government till. He can get as much money as he wants when he wants it. He does not have to answer to anybody. I shouldn't say he does not have to. He chooses not to answer, and they accept this behavior not only from the president, but you can see even for Rudy Giuliani has not come before any committee or any body in Congress to explain what he does. But in the meantime, Trump has fired a whole bunch of people and instead named new people that he wants. I could understand that. But he hasn't moved to confirm them. They're all acting this and acting that. Which means that he keeps them on a string. They don't know if they're real. They come to work every day, and they don't even know if they're permanent. But what they do know is that they have the title of acting this and acting that. What is the clue there? The clue is that they're operating essentially without authority. Nobody has vetted them except Trump and his cronies, and they installed them. You're going to be acting, look how long you have these people hanging in there as acting members of this department or that department. He got rid of the people who knew how to run these departments and got a bunch of cronies and stuck them in their place. Why is that significant? It's significant because in their capacity as acting this or acting that, nothing they say or do is binding. So Trump has free rein over their budgets, over their spending, and over access to all that money that these acting people can do nothing with. You're acting, which means you haven't gone through the process of confirmation. The people who used to run the show are no longer there. So this is a tactic by Trump. I will load up this bureaucracy with all kinds of acting people. acting like they really are in charge. They're not. They're being plugged in here and plugged in there, and it looks like business is going on as usual. He had reason to get rid of the old guard because they weren't doing their jobs well. And now he has a whole bunch, a whole cadre of acting substitutes. Nothing has been ratified. Nothing has become permanent in terms of policy. And he is taking his time. He knows what he's doing. They're all plugged in. And while they are acting, he gives Giuliani permission to flit across the landscape and find out where is there a whole lot of money that we can use. And then they find things to do with the money. For example, we have HUD, Housing and Urban Development. Where's the money that was supposed to have begun flowing so that the people of Puerto Rico, devastated by Hurricane Maria, could get on with the business of making badly needed repairs after the storm? The hurricane. That hasn't happened. It's in limbo. It's in limbo. And that very good Christian man who heads up that department has yet to explain where the money is. We're talking now about a couple of billion dollars. Where did that money go? Dr. Carson, I am willing to bet that one of the minions rounded up, got word of this money, that it's already approved. It's been approved for months. These rebuilding projects should have been halfway done by now. Carson doesn't know where the money is. Nobody seems to know where the money is. How could that possibly be? And so Puerto Rico continues to exist in a primitive state, with all that damage not cleaned up, not done. You may recall he went down to Puerto Rico and he threw them like a clown. He thought it was hysterically funny. A roll of paper towels. Here, use this to clean up your joint. So I come back to the central point. Okay. All of these temporary appointments made in departments that have a lot of money allocated to various projects. The money, we don't know where the money is. And everybody is temporary. So there is no one in so many agencies now heading the agency, making the appropriate decisions. Dr. Carson can't explain where hundreds of millions of dollars are. He can't explain it. So my theory is that there's a kind of cleanup operation that has been going on for some time. The president as president, and then these temporary appointments that he has made in these departments, they've seen to it that these departments have been allocated serious money to do all kinds of things. But in the absence of a permanent appointee to head up these departments, the money is just there. And I haven't checked yet, but I bet you, bit by bit, it's disappearing and being diverted here and diverted there and diverted to other projects that originally were not part of the reason that the money was allocated. So there's a gang happening, a gang operating. And the leadership is in the White House. These various advisors who just pop up, like Giuliani, and are in charge of various projects. They now also have, it seems, the authority to dip into these pots of money and come up with new things that need to be done and be done quickly. So all this time, I'm thinking, in the absence of real leadership and the chaos that Donald Trump is known for, nobody's paying attention. But there are billions and billions of dollars that have been parlayed into something else. What that is, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with the sudden appearance of temporary department heads who have no authority. They can't sign off on any deal. They can't do any of that. They can only report that the money has been received, but they have no authority to initiate any projects or anything like that. That's a real gangster move. A real gangster move. Meanwhile, people are being distracted. And we're hearing, oh, well, the issue is Congress and they're doing this, these hearings and whatnot. Look, long before these hearings have become an issue, Trump has established a shadow government. They're handling things their way. Not the right way, not the legal way, but their way. I would like to see a receipt from Ivanka Trump and her husband that they paid for every bit of travel that they have done so far to tend to their own personal business. I'd like to see that. I'd like to know how it is that they, I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that they're related to Donald Trump and have, you know, she has her father's last name. I'm sure this was all on the up and up. But just in case, who's checking? Who's running down the receipts for money that has miraculously disappeared or has been allocated without anybody knowing? Now, we're not going to know anytime soon. But I say we should keep this in mind, that this is actually happening right in the open. Money is disappearing left, right, and center. People are popping up as new players on the team. And then you see the anomaly, Rudolph Giuliani. What the hell are you doing on anybody's diplomatic team? Writing foreign policy. You have no credentials in that area. You don't know a thing about it. You barely know federal law. And nobody in Congress, I have not heard, maybe they're grumbling quietly because I haven't seen the arguments being raised openly. This president absolutely is contemptuous of Congress. And he really feels that the primary purpose of this government is to provide him the funding for his business ventures. You don't have to pay for travel. You don't have to pay for your meals. Because you have a high position that nobody sanctioned. You don't attend meetings in Congress. You don't deliver any briefings to the members of Congress. You have nothing to do with Congress. You are accountable to one guy, and he is breaking the law. So I don't think it would be a stretch to say that the government under Trump has been hijacked. I don't think that's an exaggeration. And strange characters are going in and out, and policies are changing without anybody knowing why or where the money is going. And all these new pacts that are being established. And Giuliani, who has no real foreign policy experience or knowledge, is the guy, he's the nerve center of operations we know nothing about. He's accountable to nobody except Trump. And maybe he even decided that he doesn't have to do that. That this gives him an opportunity to establish another level. You know, the Giuliani level of profit making on the sly. So we have to do that. We have to check. And members of Congress have to chase down the answer and demand it publicly. Demand, as they say, to see the receipts. I want to talk about, well, I talked about her before, and I did describe her months and months ago as irritating. And that is Representative Ilhan Omar from Minnesota. All right. So now, what is my gripe? Trace, what is your gripe? I asked a question, really, of Bernie Sanders. What is it with you, Bernie, that you can't figure things out? You weren't able to figure out Hillary Clinton trying to weasel her way into your political movement and take it over. You just saw her as a great addition to the team. And now you do not recognize Ilhan Omar as attempting to do the same thing. Now, what caught my eye was a full-page ad. And the ad says, let me get the exact wording here, that this is a movement. This is, the ad has a picture of Bernie, but prominently placed is a picture of Ilhan Omar, and the ad is announcing a major rally in Minneapolis and urging people, of course, to turn out and also urging people to donate to the cause. And it says, this is a movement. Together, we are going to create the America we deserve. All right. I like affirmations like that. Except immediately all alarms went off in my head. And I started asking, Bernie, what's your problem? What exactly is your problem? And the this is a movement statement is juxtaposed very close to the photo of Ilhan Omar. And I'm asking, where are the people of her movement, incidentally? How many people so far belong to in this movement did she generate? This movement, it's so clear what she's after. It's so clear, and I can't figure out how Bernie can't figure this thing out. You have no real troops to speak of. You have no real money to speak of. You have no real plan with this movement to speak of, but you are announcing to the world, this is a movement. You and Bernie together, you're equals. And Bernie seems to be going along with this crap. I said, have you lost your mind, Bernie? This is happening at the same time that there are problems with Ilhan Omar in her personal life. She just got divorced last week, or maybe it's early this week. She was found to have paid her so-called consultant $369,000 for his services. She has a small quid pro quo problem happening. You haven't even qualified the woman as your partner in politics. I guess you insist on learning the hard way. This is Hillary Clinton part two. You spent so many years building your reputation, building your political base, and you're going to let somebody come in, and clearly you see, you can see it from the ad what Omar's intention is. She supposedly is showing that she is partnering with you in this movement. But Bernie, when people are partnering with you, they're bringing something to the table, something concrete, something worthwhile. What is it? Partnering doesn't mean somebody jumps into your thing and filters out from your movement and make people pretend that they didn't know that long before she got on the scene, you built a movement. And I suppose to prove your progressive nature, you are now partnering with a Somali American, and you're open to working together for a shared goal. No. Again, who did the vetting? When you are facing sanctions from the Federal Elections Commission, wanting to know how it was that you could divert $369,000 to your boyfriend, who is now going to be your soon-to-be husband, paying for his travel, paying for his meals, paying for hotels. That is called old-style corruption. You spent all this time trying to keep your nose clean, but next thing you know, there is this full-page ad announcing this merger. You and Omar are working together on this movement. You're nuts. You're crazy. There are all kinds of unanswered questions about Ilhan Omar. And you owed it to yourself, unless you don't have good advice from people. You were within striking distance. And then somebody explained to you, up comes Hillary Clinton, and she barges into your so-called movement and destroys it. And you let her. Okay, she didn't get what she wanted, and what she wanted was to use your political movement to launch herself into political orbit. She didn't come bearing gifts. She didn't come to contribute to this movement. She came to benefit from it, to take from it. And as we know, the people rejected Hillary, and they still do. Now you're going to go through part two. Well, then you deserve what you get. It is not a good decision. And I'm surprised, frankly, that it is so easy, you make it so easy for people to come into your fold, situate themselves for further political office, use the umbrella that you provide in a legitimate movement. And you're not checking on, well, what are your credentials? What are you bringing here? She is not to be given automatic access. She has some accounting to do. Have her account. If you're so timid that you think people are going to criticize you because you would not partner with a black woman, and, you know, she's all rah, rah, rah. That's just show. That's not genuine politics. That's just show. If I were to ask Ilhan Omar, I need you to assemble 50 people in the next half hour, and we should have a talk at a local hall. You can't do it. You don't have that trust. You haven't built up that reputation. in the community. And for all intents and purposes, people should take a very careful view of you. But when I saw that ad, I said, oh, geez, this is Hillary all over again. Trying to get in and destroy your movement. Let them go build their own. And we are building. What are you building with? Where are your people? Where is your money? Where are your victories? You can't show any of that. Then you're not ready to partner with me. You see, that's the way you're supposed to think, Bernie. You have now attracted the attention of the Federal Elections Commission. You don't need that trouble, and that's not your problem. That problem was put in your lap. And now you have to deal with it. You're not thinking, Bernie. You're not thinking. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I'm sorry I went off, but it was necessary. And I hope you give some thought to what this crazy woman is saying. Because inevitably, you would see the merit of my arguments. We'll meet up tomorrow, Free Your Mind Friday. Thanks for listening. We'll talk.